suddenly full of pain. Ghastly blue and black blotches swam in front of his eyes. His lungs were on fire. His throat was a pipe of agony. Hands, cold hands, freezing hands, hands that felt like a glove full of dice, towed him through the water and threw him down on the bank, where after some game attempt to get on with drowning, he was eventually bullied back into what passed for his life. Terpsik didn't often get angry, because Gladys didn't hold with it. But he felt cheated. He'd been born without being consulted. He'd been married because Gladys and her father had seen to it, and the only major human achievement that was uniquely his had been rudely snatched away from him. A few seconds ago, it had all been so simple. Now it was all complicated again. Not that he wanted to die, of course. The gods were very firm on the subject of suicide. He just hadn't wanted to be rescued. Through red eyes in a mask of slime and duckweed, he peered at the blurred form above him and shouted, "Why did you have to save me?" The answer worried him. He thought about it as he squelched all the way home. It sat at the back of his mind while Gladys complained about the state of his clothes. It squirreled around in his head as he sat and sneezed guiltily by the fire, because being ill was another thing Gladys didn't hold with. And as he lay shivering in bed, it settled in his dreams like an iceberg. In the midst of his fever, he muttered, "What did he mean, for later?" Torches flared in the city of Stolat. Whole squads of men were charged with the task of constantly renewing them. The streets glowed. The sizzling flames pushed back shadows that had been blamelessly minding their own business every night for centuries. They illuminated ancient corners where the eyes of bewildered rats glittered in the depths of their holes. They forced burglars to stay indoors. They glowed on the night mists, forming a nimbus of yellow light that blotted out the cold high flames streaming from the hub. But mainly, they shone on the face of Princess Kaylee. It was everywhere. It plastered every flat surface. Binky cantered along the glowing streets between Princess Kaylee on doors, walls, and gable ends. Mort gaped at posters of his beloved on every surface where workmen had been able to make paste stick. Even stranger, no one seemed to be paying them much attention. While Stolat's nightlife was not as colourful and full of incident as that of Ankh Morpork, in the same way that a wastepaper basket cannot compete with a municipal tip, the streets were nevertheless a bustle with people and shrill with the cries of hucksters, gamblers, sellers of sweetmeats, pea and thimble men, ladies of assignation, pickpockets, and the occasional honest trader who had wandered in by mistake and couldn't now raise enough money to leave. As Mort rode through them, snatches of conversation in half a dozen languages floated into his ears. With numb acceptance, he realized he could understand every one of them. He eventually dismounted and led the horse along Wall Street, searching in vain for Cutwell's house. He found it only because a lump on the nearest poster was making muffled swearing noises. He reached out gingerly and pulled aside a strip of paper.
"Thanks very much," said the gargoyle door knocker. "You wouldn't credit it, would you? 1 minute life as normal, next minute a mouthful of glue."
"Where's Cutwell?"
"He's gone off to the palace."
The knocker leered at him and winked a cast-iron eye.
"Some men came and took all his stuff away. Then some other men started pasting pictures of his girlfriend all over the place. Bastards," it added.
Mort coloured.
"His girlfriend?"
The door knocker, being of the demonic persuasion, sniggered at his tone. It sounded like fingernails being dragged over a file.
"Yes," it said. "They seemed in a bit of a hurry, if you ask me."
Mort was already up on Binky's back.
"I say,"
shouted the knocker at his retreating back,
"I say, could you unstick me, boy?"
Mort tugged on Binky's reins so hard that the horse reared and danced crazily backwards across the cobbles, then reached out and grabbed the ring of the knocker. The gargoyle looked up into his face and suddenly felt like a very frightened door knocker indeed. Mort's eyes glowed like crucibles, his expression was a furnace, his voice held enough heat to melt iron. It didn't know what he could do, but felt that it would probably prefer not to find out.
"What did you call me?" Mort hissed.
The door knocker thought quickly.
"Fur,"
it said.
"What did you ask me to do?"
"Unstick me."
"I don't intend to."
"Fine," said the door knocker. "Fine, that's okay by me. I'll just stick around then."
It watched Mort canter off along the street and shuddered with relief, knocking itself gently in its nervousness.